turning citizens into suspects since 2001. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
If reelected, would you increase the frequency of garbage pickup?
Well, citizen, that's an excellent question, and I thank you for it. I think it's great we live in a town where you can ask questions. Because without questions, we just have answers. And an answer without a question is a statement.
Oh, I like him. He looks me in the eye.
Hi there. Welcome, Kate Daly Show, on a Wednesday, and I really appreciate you tuning in. In fact, we have a couple of guest surprises for you, and I'm excited to interview, actually to do this. So I'm going to roll right into the show, because otherwise we're going to run out of time, and you're going to wish I would have started this earlier. So I want to actually welcome David Levitt to the show, who's running for state attorney general for the state of Utah. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much. And, you know, that clip coming in, you know, it's interesting because that happens a lot. You know, we're looking at a lot of candidates and there's a lot of blanket statements and just things said, but not a lot of substance. And so I think in this next little clip here, I want to dive into some substance with you, David, and see why you're running and what kind of difference do you want to make as Attorney General and what your role is about. And I think the best place to start is just about a minute recap on who you are and what experience brings you into this office.
Thank you.
You bet.
I'm from Cedar City, and I've been practicing law for 30 years. Mm-hmm. I've been a criminal defense attorney roughly, you know, if I round these numbers, I've been a criminal defense attorney for 10 years, an elected prosecutor for 10 years. And I've spent roughly 10 years as a criminal justice reformer in the former Soviet Union. And quite frankly, spending 10 years of my life helping the former Soviet Union attain what we used to have in our country inspired me to come back to Utah and realize that, you know, I had no business spending 10 years of my life trying to reform the former Soviet Union when my own criminal justice system is falling apart. So that inspired me to run for Utah County Attorney on a platform of reforming a broken system. And that's what we're doing in Utah County. But I realized that, we fail in Utah County if we don't reform the entire state. So I'm running for Attorney General to reform the criminal justice system.
Excellent. You're running against Sean Reyes.
I am.
And so, you know, on the heels of COVID lockdown and our state being in a yellow and the new normal, which makes me nauseated, I'm trying to understand the role of the Attorney General in protecting the citizens, their right to do business, their right to conduct their own lives. How do you feel about what just took place?
Well, first off, I have to say that I was diagnosed with COVID early on, and I don't mean in any respect by what I'm about to say to make light of the situation or the illness, because it's a terrible illness. I was flat in bed for 18 days, and I'm grateful that I got through it. But that notwithstanding, we have to understand that it's not the government's role to keep everyone safe from things that the government can't keep, from which the government can't keep us safe. And the state attorney general sits at the same level as the governor. The attorney general does not work for the governor. The attorney general is independent. And if the attorney general sees something in the other parts of the executive branch of government that don't comport with our freedoms, then the attorney general needs to act, regardless of whether that's against the governor, the legislature, or anything else.
Amen. Amen. Because I've seen a Sean Reyes conspicuously quiet during this entire thing, and it's bothered me, to tell you the truth.
Well, right. And in Utah County, I hold a similar role. I mean, we have health departments across the state, and the county attorney is, you know, health departments can make all the rules they want, but they can't enforce them because that's a nice check. It requires the county attorney to enforce those rules. And in Utah County, I made it very clear that, you know, we are a county that values liberty. We are a county that wants to be safe. We hope that people will adhere to recommendations, but we're not going to be enforcing any of this, you know, just normal life.
Right. Because one of your jobs is to protect the citizens' rights.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I took an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the state of Utah when I became the Utah County Attorney. I'd do the same as Attorney General. And that has a lot of meaning to it.
Right.
It's not simply to uphold the laws that our government makes. It's also, it's more importantly, and most importantly, to protect our liberties and to stand up for them.
Excellent. Thank you for answering that. So the high rate of the state versus the citizen cases and the high rate in which the government gets to use all the resources that we pay for and win. What is your statement to that? Because I find that to be one of the more troubling parts of our justice system is the average citizen going up against the government and the government usually prevailing. What would your response to that be?
You know, when I first ran for county attorney, you need to understand my experience. I left law. I went to law school to join the family business. And I had a class that completely inspired me about the criminal justice system and the jury trial. And I pivoted and went this other direction. And I started out as a criminal defense attorney and have spent a good share of my life on both, like I said, about a third of my career in these three areas, criminal defense, prosecution, and then reform. When I ran for county attorney, I told everybody that no one should have the power of government, like a prosecutor, until they have first felt the effect of having government come against them.
Right.
And even in a legal sense, I'm talking about, you know, we shouldn't give someone prosecutorial power until they've had the obligation and the opportunity to defend the accused. Because when you feel the weight of the full force of government coming against you, it is a terribly awesome power.
Right.
And there's nothing more powerful in society than the prosecutorial power, and we simply have misused it over the course of the last several decades.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's something that really needs to change. It's tough for an average citizen to go up against the machinery of the state. And it just seems terribly, terribly wrong.
Let me comment on that.
Okay.
I mean, the truth is, as an elected prosecutor, the prosecutor's job is to be a minister of justice,
right?
Not simply an advocate for the state's position.
Right.
And so our job is to look at this and to consider the plight of the defendant and consider the plight of the average citizen and say, what is the right solution here? Because you have to, when you boil it all down, you have to just adhere to the old, to the old phrase that we've heard a million times: just because you can do something doesn't mean you should.
Right.
And government has the power to do it,
rightly
or wrongly, but that's not the question. The question is, should we?
Okay. I'm speaking with David Levitt. He's running for state attorney general. His opponent is Sean Reyes. And I haven't been happy with Sean Reyes, to tell you the truth. I'm just being honest. I've seen a lot of issues and problems and quietness when there should have been somebody standing up and whatnot. But I do have a question from the audience, and that would be your thoughts on elected sheriffs. Do you believe they should be elected and work for the people or be put under the AG?
The sheriff is a sacred position because it is historically connected with a direct vote of the people.
Right.
And absolutely, the sheriff should always be elected. Police chiefs, they're appointed by the local mayor, right?
Mm-hmm.
They do not have
sure.
the autonomy that a sheriff has because the mayor can fire them, at a moment's notice. A sheriff, on the other hand, answers to the people, and that is a historical office that should always remain independently elected, and no, it should not come under the office of the Attorney General.
Amen. What would you like people to know about what you want to do in office, what you think you can do in office that's different than what we've had, David?
Well, we need to understand that this isn't about me.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't be about Sean Reyes. It should be about looking at our liberties and understanding that we are in real peril because our liberties are in real peril.
Right.
John Adams, let me just say this. Our founders gave us a government. They gave us a legislative branch to make laws, an executive to enforce them, the judiciary to hold those two in harmony together. But there's one significant power that the people never gave to government. And that power was the power to decide the guilt or innocence of a fellow human being, a fellow citizen. They kept that power to themselves through the power of the jury trial. And it was John Adams that said that representative government and the jury trial are the heart and lungs of our liberties, that without them, we have no other fortification against being ridden like horses, worked like cattle, and fed and clothed like swine and hounds. And that's the truth of it.
Yeah.
Because and what's occurred, looking through history, there was no such thing as a plea bargain until the Civil War. The Civil War, while it brought about the end of slavery, it brought about plea bargaining.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's lots of expedient reasons in their minds for why it had to happen, but it started in the Civil War. The Supreme Court didn't rule until 1969 that plea bargains were legal. By then, we were plea bargaining 75% of our cases. And once the Supreme Court said it was legal, plea bargains increased from 75% to today. It's over 99% of every criminal case is resolved by plea bargains. What that tells us is this, and it should frighten every American.
Yeah.
And that is that 99 times out of 100, the government doesn't have to prove the allegations that the government makes against its citizens. Because we've taken power away from people to decide guilt or innocence. The prosecutors have done that. And then we charge with an eye toward resolution, with an eye toward a plea bargain. And we have both the power to convict and the power to accuse.
Right.
That check is lost. And so what I want people to understand is that this is not just some, lesser ticket election for the office of attorney general. This is an election to save our criminal justice system.
Right.
Because I learned that in Ukraine.
Yeah. I'll bet.
The Ukrainian Constitution has the presumption of innocence, and they have the right to a jury trial.
David,
they didn't get.
Can you stay with me for a few minutes?
I can.
Would that be okay? I'm going to have you back for a few minutes because I do have another question for you, and I want you to finish the thought that you were just on. So we'll be right back. More with David Levitt running for state attorney general. Don't go anywhere.
Lanes deep. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Just as free. Free as we'll ever be.
Hi there, welcome back. Kate Daly Show. So glad that you're tuned in today because you're listening to David Levitt, who's running for the State Attorney General of Utah. He's on with me, and I'm grateful he is. And I have to say something about David. Let me say this because I got to give you a compliment, David. You know, I've interviewed a lot of people over the last almost 9 years, as you can imagine, and I get platitude central, and it's tough because the interviews, I ask a question and I get America's broken, let's fix it together, kinds of responses. But you have not done that. And I have to give you a compliment on that because you're coming at this with, this is my answer, this is definitive, this is what I stand for, instead of the America's broken platitude. It's more about what I see my role as. And to be honest, that's unusual. I usually don't get that, and I have to pay you that compliment.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You will be speaking tonight in Washington City Library, and I at 7 o'clock,
right?
And I hope people go.
That's
7 o'clock, Washington City Library tonight. And so I wanted you to finish your thought as we were going into the break. You were talking about, I think, the system a little bit. Now that I can't remember,
I was saying, we have all these grand constitutional rights. And it wasn't until I started becoming a legal reformer in Ukraine you realize that a constitutional right means nothing. if the government won't respect it
right.
and uphold it
right.
itself. And I learned it because the Ukrainian Constitution has the presumption of innocence, where it says, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty,
mm-hmm.
right?
Sure.
And I thought for a long time, well, they got that from our Constitution. Well, they didn't. They got it from the Soviet Constitution.
Okay.
And what that tells us is, you know, innocent until proven guilty is just a word on, you know, a bunch of words on a piece of paper, unless the government will put it into action.
Mm-hmm.
And our government, you know, Sean Ray has referred to my push for a jury trial as a quixotic charade.
What?
That's absolutely, you know, not constitutionally mandated. If you go look at the debate that we had, that's what he said. You know, it's a quixotic idea that's not constitutionally
Jeez.
Mandated. And I looked at him and I said, you know, Sean, you're right. It is a quixotic idea, but it wasn't me that came up with it. It was a group of people we call the founding fathers of our Constitution. They came up with it. And that's their answer for how to keep innocent until proven guilty meaning something in our Constitution. Well, the other thing is, in the Ukrainian Constitution, they too have a right to a trial by jury, just
mm-hmm.
like we do.
Mm-hmm.
Yet there's never been a jury trial in the history of that country, not one. And the reason why there hasn't been is because no one knows how to do them. And because the citizenry doesn't understand that they have an obligation to go sit on a jury. Well, that's where we are now. 99 times out of 100,
mm-hmm.
we don't have jury trials. And because of that, our citizenry doesn't understand its obligations to sit on juries. And because of that, prosecutors don't know how to do them. Defense attorneys don't know how to do them. Judges don't know how to do them. And so you take this out 10, 20 more years, the right to a trial by jury will be still a constitutional right, but it will not be practiced because no one knows how to do it.
Okay. I have a last question for you, and thanks for that, by the way. And that is, you know, I've been going into a lot of different businesses where the employees kind of quietly tell me, oh my gosh, they're making me wear this mask. I have a rash. I can't breathe. What can I do? What are my rights? And I don't see anyone in government standing up. And I think one thing that's really bothered people through this is no one's standing up. No one's saying anything. Everybody's in lockstep. Everybody's on the buddy system in government. And that does not bode well for us. And so what are the rights of the citizens? I think when they're told they have to wear a mask, what does that mean? What does that even mean?
Well, first off, you know, who's telling you to wear a mask? You know, if someone says, hey, Levitt, you got to wear a mask. I'm going to look at them and I'm going to say, okay, under what basis? Now, if I
right.
go to Costco says to me, you got to wear a mask if you want to come in our building. And so I have to make a choice at that point if I want to wear a mask.
Yeah.
I always put a mask on when I go to Costco because I want to shop at Costco.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the deal they make with me.
Sure.
But if the government comes out and says, you must wear a mask or we're going to cite you, I would say, you know what? Here's where I am on this time at this date. I will not have a mask. You come cite me. We'll go fight this thing out.
Okay. Okay.
We have an obligation as citizens, and this is important to understand, because when you have when you have the government pushing one way, it's our sacred obligation as citizens to fight back,
yeah.
to say in a very civil, a very, you know, proper way, but to simply say no.
Yeah.
Not with me. You will not do that.
How did you feel about the concert we just had that I thought was awesome? the businesses saying, no, I'm not closing. I'm sorry. You cannot destroy my business because I'm not in fear.
Right.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
My hat's off to them. You know, I mean,
good.
If the government's saying you recommend not go to restaurants that have, you know, chock full of people, Then that's my choice, right? And the government's doing its job by saying, you know, please be safe.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if the restaurant's still open and I want to go to it, then that's my right. And I get the benefits of that, and I also get the detriments of that if I get infected, right?
Right.
And so it's you know, we it's important to distinguish between recommendations and requirements.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for a government that will give me recommendations on things, but I'm also grateful for a government. In fact, we need to demand a government that will leave it at recommendations and not make them requirements.
Well, amen to that. So if you want, if you'd like to ask, go ahead.
And let me just say this, honestly, I'm the Utah County Attorney. There's 700,000 people in my county.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a way, even if I had a mind to enforce that kind of thing, how do you do it?
Right.
It's completely unenforceable. There's just, and if something's unenforceable, that ought to be the first clue that we have that we shouldn't be making it illegal.
Amen. David, thank you. I really appreciate you spending the extra time too. David Levitt, he's running for a state attorney general. And if you want to hear him speak tonight, 7 o'clock, Washington City Library, I appreciate you running. I appreciate your more in-depth answers. Thank you. I know where you stand. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate.
Thanks,
and,
David.
And I'll tell davidlevitt.com if people want to learn more.
Perfect. Thanks, David. Good luck.
Thanks, Kate.
All right, Jeff. Okay. Okay.
Hey, I went to the meeting last night.
How was it?
Disappointing.
Ooh, ouch. Okay. Did he not answer questions the way you...
Well, he answered questions, but your two constitutional guys that call in all the time go to these same meetings and
yes.
they take up the whole meeting. Like
oh.
Chris Stewart, you go to a town hall, they'll take up... Nobody else gets to answer or ask any questions.
Mm. Ouch.
I was an hour and 15 minutes before I got to ask it one question.
What'd you ask?
About illegal aliens.
Okay.
And how then, come the state of Utah gives more benefits than any other state and was first in line to give all these benefits, even
true.
More than California?
You're right. That's not okay. What and so what was the answer?
Basically, it's a federal issue.
Ooh. Yeah, that's not good. That's not good.
But if something comes up that they break the law,
right.
then he will prosecute.
Mm-hmm.
But that we have so many that we don't prosecute mm-hmm. because then we'll be under the suspicions of the ICE
yeah.
people and then possible deportation. So,
okay.
And then we also have the, if you promise to self-deport, all mm-hmm. the charges go away.
Okay.
Then
I mean,
they come back
mm-hmm.
2 weeks later under a different name and everything's great.
Okay. I mean, in some respects, like the Supreme Court, we'll talk about this with Chris Ann Hall next, what happened with DACA. And so there are some federal, you know, things that, yeah, you could say somebody, you know, but it's not only a federal issue. That's the problem. Some of it's federal.
Yeah.
But when we're doing things in our state to support that, then yes, you're exactly right. That disappoints me. For sure.
All
yeah.
right.
Thank
Carry
you.
On.
Really appreciate Thanks. It. Thanks. I know it's so frustrating voting. I told my husband, I was like, I just can't stand campaign years anymore. I really can't. It's too much. It's too hard. I don't want to have to deal with campaigning years.
Well, they don't say anything
I know,
important.
And you don't know what they're really going to do in office. And that goes for everybody. It just goes for everybody. You don't really know. And I know with the incumbents. So I would say always vote an incumbent out because I'll tell you what, the longer they're in, the more they do for the establishment.
Yeah.
So that would only be my blanket statement would be vote an incumbent out. Say no more. Because I'm serious. You'll see people change. I've seen it.
You know, it looks like the more they become comfortable mm-hmm. with the graft and the criminality,
right.
the longer they stay.
Yes. Yes. Hi, caller. Welcome to the